experience. You will venture to a place beyond imagination, where both space and time deform into grotesque realities.
Here is the actual sound of a person who's just finished dining at Kingston Seaway Restaurant.
Hello. Hello, baby. Hello.
Wow, you're some operator.
I was born in a basement in 1959.
Editor's note. No filter or increase in tape speed were used for these scenes.
Without you as the liaison between McDonald's Corporation and the customer, we're dead.
A free candy bar for every child that knows what grows in the secret garden. The answer, of course, is love, hope, and happiness.
Thank you for letting us introduce you to one of the finest entertainment products available, and happy motoring.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. Happy Thanksgiving, Ian. Hey, everybody. Derek Gary. Danielle Gabellino.
Hi, everybody.
Back at WMFO.
I know.
Former WMFO host. They're all coming
home
to roost.
I miss it. I think I have to come back.
We miss you.
Well, it's nice to be missed. What can I say?
4 hours coming up tonight. We're going to take you inside everything that's going on with Thanksgiving. An urgent health warning that we're going to talk about in a little bit. Don't eat the dumpster turkeys.
Who's eating dumpster turkeys?
Somebody might be eating dumpster turkeys. We have to talk about the dumpster turkeys.
All right, if we have to.
And coming up later tonight, we will be taking you through all of the big Black Friday deals, helping you get ready for the post-Thanksgiving celebration.
Yes, yes, yes.
Our annual salute to American holiday consumerism. Welcome. Happy Thanksgiving Eve.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve, everybody.
It is good to be back here. Chris Earle is on the road.
Oh, he's on the move.
He's on the move. I think he's out in Chicago.
Okay.
So he's bequeathed the show to me once again this year. And we will have other people joining us as the night goes on. Also, Shay Spillane is on the road. She's on her way up to Maine.
Oh, okay.
So no Shay tonight. So just me representing the big picture. But we're going to have, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to have fun. We're going to.
Good crew joining us.
We're going to do. This is actually my very favorite show of the year. Out of everything that we do. And the reason for that is this happens to be the first time I ever did radio solo.
Was it on Thanksgiving?
Was on the night before Thanksgiving. I think it was actually on Thanksgiving night.
Oh, wow.
And it was 2005. It was back in the HB Inc. radio days with
mm-hmm.
Paul Day.
Yep.
And that was a point where a lot of people, including Chris Earle, came into WMFO and yourself.
Yeah, I came in 04, 05, somewhere in there as well.
Yeah.
I was on Gods and Goddesses with Dan Bromberg, and then I spun off and did my own show called Audio Therapy, which Derek gave me the name to, and it's a brilliant name, by the way.
Yeah, and so there's been this group of us that all sort of came in at the same time,
yeah.
And by this time next year, I have a feeling I'm going to be the only survivor.
Oh, no.
Because
I'll come back, and then we'll rebuild from the ground up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this was the first ever time that I did radio by myself, because I'd been co-hosting with Paul. It was my first time behind the board.
Yep.
First time learning everything. And it really was the origin of what became Here at WOW
mm-hmm.
in 2009, which was all the goofy music that I was finding and playing, and then that evolved with Brian Joyce into the big picture.
Right.
And here I am, 2017, still talking news and politics, but not tonight.
Is it? It's not the whole. It's the whole truth, though.
It was the whole truth when it was Brian.
Okay.
Then Brian left for Tennessee,
and now it's the big picture.
Took the theme song with him.
Yeah, he's on like big boy radio.
Yeah,
right?
he's on Atlanta now too. He's all over the place.
Yeah.
But shipping up to Boston was our theme song.
Right.
And he goes down to Tennessee, and first day he's on the air, shipping up to Boston is playing. I'm like, oh, I can't use that anymore.
I mean, well, can he use that outside of Boston, really?
Yeah, I guess he can.
I feel like he should be using that if he's leaving there to come to here. But you don't leave here and go there and then use shipping up to Boston.
I don't know.
Shipping away from Boston.
I don't know what he's thinking. Anyway, We've got 4 hours of fun coming your way tonight. On the Town with Mikey D, we'll be here at 9 o'clock. We've got stragglers, and you know, getting settled in.
Yes,
is always the first part of the Thanksgiving festivities, one way or another. So we're going to get settled in right now with an American radio tradition. Not only is this one of the very few songs written about Thanksgiving in the entire American musical canon, we just don't have that many.
No, they are mostly primarily focused on Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a song hostile holiday. I don't know why that is. But not only is this one of the few songs written about Thanksgiving, this song is also the DJ's best friend. This is the song that you play when you need to step outside of the station for an extended period to do whatever it is you need to do. So a traditional Thanksgiving-ian airing of Arlo Guthrie. This is WMFO Medford.
This song's called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song. And that's why I call the song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago. It was on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant. She lives in the church nearby the restaurant in the bell tower with her husband Ray and Facha the dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump. Well, we got there, and there's a big sign and a chain across the dump saying closed on Thanksgiving. And we had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before. And with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one till we came to a side road, and off the side of the side road was another 15-foot cliff. And at the bottom of the cliff was another pile of garbage. And we decided that one big pile's better than two little piles, and rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning when we got a phone call from Officer Obie. He said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage, and wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obie, cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." After speaking Obie for about 45 minutes on the telephone, we finally arrived at the truth of the matter and said that we had to go down and pick up the garbage, and also had to go down and speak to him at the police officer station. So we got in the red VW microbus with the shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, headed on toward the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one or two things that Obie could have done at the police station, and the first was that he could have given us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it. Another thing was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again. which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't even counted upon, and we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. And I said, Obie, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on. He said, shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car, and that's what we did. Sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the, quote, scene of the crime, unquote. I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this happened. Here they got three stop signs, two police officers and one police car. But when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars, being the biggest crime of the last 50 years. And everybody wanted to get in a newspaper story about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment that they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plaster, tire track, footprints, dog smelling prints, and they took 27 8x10 color glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. Took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner, and southwest corner, and that's not to mention the aerial photography. After the ordeal, we went back to the jail. Obie said he was gonna put us in the cell. Said, kid, I'm gonna put you in the cell. I want your wallet and your belt. And I said, Obie, I can understand you want my wallet so I don't have any money to spend in the cell, but what do you want my belt for? And it said, kid, we don't want any hangings. Said, Obie, did you think I was gonna hang myself for littering? Obie said he was making sure, and friends Obie was, cause he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. And he took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll and have an escape. Obie was making sure, and it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? It's a song about Alice. Alice came by and with a few nasty words to Obie on the side, bailed us out of jail. We went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, and didn't get up until the next morning when we all had to go to court. We walked in, sat down. Obie came in with the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back each one. Sat down. Man came in, said, all rise. We all stood up, and Obie stood up with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures, and the judge walked in, sat down with the C&I dog, and he sat down. We sat down. Obie looked at the C&I dog. Then the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and looked at the C&I dog. And then the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and began to cry, cause Obie came to the realization that it was a typical case of American blind justice and there wasn't nothing he could do about it. And the judge wasn't gonna look at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. And we was fined $50 and had to pick up the garbage in the snow, but that's not what I came to tell you about. Came to talk about the draft. We got a building down New York City, it's called Whitehall Street, where you walk in and you get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. I went down to get my physical examination one day, and I walked in and sat down. Got good and drunk the night before, so I looked and felt my best when I went in that morning. Cause I wanted to look like the all-American kid from New York City. Man, I wanted to feel like I wanted to be the all-American kid from New York. And I walked in, sat down, I was hung down, brung down, hung up, and all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I walked in, I sat down, they gave me a piece of paper, said, kid, see the psychiatrist, room 604. And I went up there, I said, shrink, I want to kill. And I want to kill. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead, burnt bodies. I mean, kill. 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 sent me down the hall, said, you're our boy. And you feel too good about it. Proceeded on down the hall, getting more injections, inspections, detections, neglections, and all kinds of stuff that they was doing to me at the thing there. And I was there for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I was there for a long time, going through all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things, and I was just having a tough time there. And they was inspecting, injecting every single part of me, and they was leaving no part untouched. Proceeded through, and I when finally came to see the very last man, I walked in, sat down after a whole big thing there, and I walked up and said, what do you want? He said, kid, we only got one question. Have you ever been arrested? I proceeded to tell him the story of Alice's restaurant, Massacre, with full orchestration and five-part harmony and stuff like that, and then all the phenomena stopped me right there and said, kid, did you ever go to court? I proceeded to tell him the story of the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one that stopped me right there and said, kid, I want you to go over and sit down on that bench that says Group W. Now, kid! I walked over to the bench there, and there's his Group W is where they put you. If you may not be moral enough to join the army after committing your special crime, and there was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking people on the bench. There's mother rapers, father stabbers, father rapers. Father rapers sitting right there on the bench next to me, and one, it was mean and nasty and ugly and horrible and crime-fighting guys are sitting there on the bench, and the meanest, ugliest, nastiest one, the meanest father raper of them all, was coming over to me, and he was mean and ugly and nasty and horrible and all kinds of things, and he sat down next to me and said, kid, what'd you get? Said I didn't get nothing. I had to pay $50 and pick up the garbage. He said, what were you arrested for, kid? And I said, littering. And they all moved away from me on the bench there to carry eyeball and all kinds of mean, nasty things till I said, and creating a nuisance. And they all came back, shook my hand, and we had a great time on the bench talking about crime, mother stabbing, father raping, all kinds of groovy things that we was talking about on the bench. And everything was fine. We were smoking cigarettes and all kinds of things until the sergeant came over, had some paper in his hand, held it up and said, kids, this piece of paper's got 47 words, 37 sentences, 58 words. We want to know details of the crime, time, crime, and else kind of thing. Got to say, pretend to about the crime. Want to know the rest of the officer's name, and else kind of thing. You got to say, and talk for 45 minutes, and nobody understood a word that he said. But we had fun filling out the forms and playing with the pencils on the bench there. And I filled out the Massacre with the four-part harmony and wrote it down there just like it was, and everything was fine. And I put down a pencil and I turned over the piece of paper, and there on the other side, in the middle of the other side, away from everything else on the other side, in parentheses, capital letters, quotated, read the following words. Kid, you rehabilitated yourself. I went over to the sergeant and said, sergeant, you've got a lot of damn gall to ask me if I've rehabilitated myself. I'm sitting here on a bench. I mean, I'm sitting here on the Group W bench. Because you want to know if I'm moral enough to join the army, burn women, kids, houses, and villages after being a litter bug. He looked at me and said, kid, you don't like your kind. And we're gonna send your fingerprints off to Washington, and friends, somewhere in Washington, enshrined in some little folders, and studying black and white of my fingerprints. And the only reason I'm singing you the song now is because you may know somebody in a similar situation. Or you may be in a similar situation. And if you're in a situation like that, there's only one thing you can do. Is walk into the shrink wherever you are. Just walk in and say, shrink. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant and walk out. You know, if one person, just one person does it, they may think he's really sick and they won't take him. And if two people do it in harmony, they think they're both faggots and it won't take either of them. And if three people do it, can you imagine three people walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out? They may think it's an organization. And can you imagine 50 people a day? I said 50 people a day walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, walking out. And friends, they may think it's a movement. And that's what it is. The Alice's Restaurant Anti-Massacre Movement. And all you gotta do to join is to sing it the next time it comes around on the guitar with feeling. So we'll wait till it comes around on the guitar here. Sing it when it does. Here it comes. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. That was horrible. One and Warren stuff, you gotta sing loud. You could put a lot. I've been singing the song now for 25 minutes. I could sing it for another 25 minutes. I'm not proud or tired. So we'll wait till it comes around again. And this time with four part harmony and feeling. We're just waiting for it to come around is what we're doing. All right now. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant, excepting Alice. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. So walk. It's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. At Alice's
What a rough week at work. I can't believe we got to travel 100 miles to your parents for Thanksgiving. I'm bushed.
We've got to be there no later than 4 o'clock. Dinner's at 5:30 and the whole family's going to be there. Are you okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm all right. We'll stop for coffee if I get too sleepy.
Don't turn the Thanksgiving holiday into a tragedy. Being drowsy behind the wheel can lead to inattentive driving, or you could fall asleep and cause a crash, resulting in loss of life or serious injury for you, your family, or someone else who is simply sharing the road. If you're too sleepy, it may be too late.
What are you doing? doing? You almost got us killed! Pull over! I'll drive.
Thanksgiving should be a happy time. Don't mess it up by driving drowsy. Be well rested and stay alert. Don't be among the New Jersey residents who die each year by falling asleep at the wheel. This message from the New Jersey Division of Highway Traffic Safety, the New Jersey Broadcasters Association, and this station.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is a Thanksgiving Eve edition of Hear It Wow. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock. Joined in the studio by Molly Gary.
Hi.
And by former WMFO DJ Daniela Capolino.
Hi, all.
And we're still waiting for a couple of people. They will be here.
But you guys have the same last name.
Before the night is over. We do have the same last name. Purely a coincidence. Purely a coincidence. There is no
coincidence.
Greater significance to that than that.
That makes me feel great.
Yeah.
Look what I started.
Yeah. Don't get me started on your misadventures with the parking meter outside.
Don't even. It was hard to see, so yeah. They got my license plate wrong 5 times.
Kept paying for it 5 times. I think if you just stuck the receipt in the car, it's fine, and it doesn't matter what it is.
You don't even have to stick it in the car.
WMFO Medford. This is not relevant to Thanksgiving or anything else.
Unless
for that matter.
Parking downtown.
Yeah. So we're going to have a health alert to tell you about in a little bit. Unless you're up in Maine, this probably doesn't affect you, but you know, we're going to wait for the quorum to get here before we dig into this, because that's a big Thanksgiving story that's going on right now. The other big Thanksgiving story, of course, is Black Friday and the preparations that are being made at the Wrentham outlets.
I heard about that.
And down in New York City, too, where they're putting up barriers all over the place so that people can't drive into the crowds.
Oh.
Happy Black Friday.
I was like, why are they putting up barriers?
Well, when we were in New York last year, right after Thanksgiving, it was when Donald Trump was the president-elect. And I remember we were near Trump Tower, which is very close to Rockefeller Center, and, you know, a lot of tourism going on there. And everywhere you turned, like, the entire block surrounding Trump Tower was all cement barriers and everything. So that's probably going to be, like, triple the amount of that now.
No, I'd imagine it's the same, because he was there at the time, and he was the president-elect, and that
was
all
Secret
Service.
That's true, and they won't be there this time, that's right.
Right.
Hopefully.
So, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens with all that. Anyway, Wrentham Outlets.
Yeah.
Everybody is still going to the Wrentham Outlets every
Apparently.
Year. And I don't know why.
I've been there once.
I've gone a handful of times, mostly to shop at Banana Republic, and that's pretty much it.
Are there?
Oh, the other one was the Williams-Sonoma outlet, but then they went and closed that.
Yeah, and Williams.
Where am I supposed to get my cheap all-clad?
Cheap Williams-Sonoma, I might be able to get behind, because who doesn't like saving on peppermint bark?
Really? Threw me a curve on that
the
one.
The ongoing bark.
I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the annual barkification of America by the Williams-Sonoma people.
I'm a New Hampshire outlet girl, because not only cheaper,
tax-free.
But it's tax-free.
You got to go to Maine. You got to go all the way up.
I always sort of feel like, I should go to Kittery, because it's tax-free New Hampshire. But I'm like,
That's Maine, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Kittery. Yeah, Maine. Where did you just say?
New Hampshire. Tilton and North Conway.
That's right.
Because I used to spend summers up there, so I used to go up there a lot.
Anytime I think, I should go to New Hampshire and buy that, it's tax-free, I think, well, you're just going to spend the gas.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
I'm not driving to North Conway to save 6.25%.
Well, I mean, I spent summers up there working, so, like, it made sense
right,
for me to
course.
Go to the outlets then.
It wasn't, like, a sort of a special thing. Yeah.
So after a year of reprieve, during which I was denied a drumstick, which will be a source of controversy for years to come. Controversy.
Because Derek and my father love to fight over the dark meat.
Controversy and hard feelings.
But that's two people. Who was the other third?
No, there were no drumsticks presented at the table. The turkey was carved.
They were hoarded.
The turkey was carved in another room, and the drumsticks were not even presented. And
I'm like, they were like stuffed in a sock drawer for later.
Wait a minute. Maybe. Wait a minute. The whole reason I'm in this,
right,
is for the drumstick.
That's the drumstick.
I look forward to that every year. So after a year off, I am back cooking the turkey.
There you go.
And my sister has already issued the vote of no confidence. Because when I went to pick up the turkey,
she bought a pint of gravy.
She had also ordered a pint of gravy.
Oh,
for a good
reason. Because she doesn't think you can handle the... Oh, no, really? Oh,
that's Derek is a great cook. I will say that.
Yeah.
He is a great cook. However, the last time he made did Thanksgiving dinner, so 2 years ago, his gravy was awesome, which was great because it ended up being your dad's last Thanksgiving. So that ended up... That's good that that all worked out.
Right.
But... In the years before that, it's not the worst. I've had horrible gravy. Like some years it was some years it was gritty. Some years it was so since we started
one year
buying
where
extra gravy.
Mixed. And
it tasted like sand.
It like broke.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like a sauce. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we have backup just in case.
Yeah, and this, you know,
gravy's hard to master. It really it can be.
We're not even at Thanksgiving yet. Already I'm offended. Is where we are at this point.
I don't know that it's I've made several gravies when I'm roasting chickens. I don't know that I've ever had a problem.
You got to make the roux, right?
I just take flour. When this is when I was eating gluten, I don't eat anymore. But yeah, you take flour and water, and I just mix it with a spoon. So it's like, but I don't cook like a roux. I don't cook like a traditional in the pan. Like
my dad uses. I don't know if he still does. When he does gravy, he uses gravy helper or whatever.
Yeah, a lot, some people.
You know,
do
the
that.
Stuff that's in the jar or whatever. He cheats a little.
Yeah,
bit.
No. I mean, I got the Wondra, and I got whatever I'm gonna.
I think. You'll be all right.
I think
it's going to come out great.
If I hear swearing coming from the kitchen, then I'll know.
You'll have the backup.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
You have the backup, exactly.
So, as I understand it, the way that I got it right a couple of years ago was you make the roux.
Yes.
And then you add like all of the juicy, delicious pan drippings to it.
Okay. Yeah. So you're
got
cooking
it.
Your roux. You cook that flour out.
Yeah.
I don't know. The way I learned it was sort of like mix it with flour and water in a mug with a fork or whatever. And then you get the drippings. And once that's all scraped off the pan, you put it in another pan and then add the flour. And then you cook it a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think. So it's sort of the same. I think you're doing one thing first and I'm doing it the other side.
I've never even attempted to make gravy.
I'll
so
figure this out. This is going to be a challenge because
live in the future, friend.
I know.
Okay. I've got a phone in my hand. That connects to the internet.
Oh, I know. I got the thing
so,
here. But
I think you'll be golden. There's Pinterest. There's YouTube.
I will get to the problems with that. With this,
there's 800 phone numbers I hear that you can call Butterball.
Advice,
right?
Butterball.
Yeah,
that's right.
There's like a whole phone bank thing. I think you're supposed to be able to call. I don't know what the phone number. 1-800-TURKEY.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know.
I have a feeling if you're calling the Butterball people on Thanksgiving Day,
it's too late.
You're gonna be on hold for a long time.
Oh yeah.
Like, the turkey is burning, and you're still waiting for somebody to pick up on the Butterball one.
I would love to see that on live television, like a telethon, and just have the phone bank, instead of being people calling in donating, people calling in with their problems.
Yeah.
And they just zero in on one
That'd
of the calls.
That'd be great. Can I'd watch that.
Can we crowdsource like
live,
the solutions?
I mean, they got live PD. Why shouldn't they have, like, live turkey 411?
That's a good idea.
That'd be awesome.
That's a good idea.
No,
watch that after the parade, or...
Can you imagine the drama if you came in and, like... The parade ended and everybody's getting ready to watch football and then you turn on this TV show that's just showing a phone bank of people calling in with turkey problems.
No, they're solving the turkey problems. I need to watch this in case mine comes up.
My call's coming up. It's just 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm not... So, but here's the thing. This is the first time that I am cooking the turkey in the new house.
And it's not a convection oven, which is what you're used to.
I don't have my convection oven.
Right, so it's going to take a little longer.
Which is already disappointing to me.
So you're about 2 hours late already to get the turkey in the oven.
Derek, you still could use the convection oven. Think about it.
Apparently, I was supposed to start cooking the turkey yesterday.
Right.
Is what I read online today. and the oven does not have a roast setting. It's got bake and it's
it
got...
It doesn't?
It's got bake and it's got broil.
It doesn't have a roast setting?
Doesn't have a roast setting. The old oven had the roast setting. This one doesn't. Because it's a... And it doesn't matter. I mean, you just...
Do you know, what temperature do you cook a turkey at? I don't know.
This is the problem that I'm... This is the real problem that I'm having. Because I've figured out, okay, I can live without the convection oven.
Right.
Like, the worst case scenario really is, I would drive up to my dad's house and cook it there.
Yes.
But then I'm away all day long. And you
yeah.
know,
I'd miss you.
I can't be up there basting all day while everybody else is having a good time. So I figured out that I don't need the roast setting.
Yeah.
I can just set it for bake and it'll heat up and right. it'll cook the turkey, all that
it
stuff.
It doesn't take long to I'll preheat be honest, at all.
I've got a, I have a countertop Breville smart oven, they call it. I don't know why it says it's smart.
Oh, you're whatever. The one that gets all those appliances.
I got that one appliance. Please, you're talking to a girl picked a, who goes dumpster diving at Harvard. You're going to talk to me about
trust me, the
buying things?
The mini appliances will be a topic of discussion later tonight.
Yeah, so I got this Breville, and it's got all these different settings. It's like toast, bake, roast, broil, and I don't know what the difference is between roast and bake, I'll be honest.
There isn't one.
Right. So the, why are there two separate settings?
Then why are there two settings? Yeah.
One is allegedly if you're... If
so
it's a,
is it for people that think like you bake a cake and you roast a chicken, so it's just a matter of perception?
That's the only technical difference.
Yeah.
But where you're dealing with like a device that may have preset temperatures on it,
yeah.
the roast temperature is going to be higher
right.
than
Got
the bake it. Temperature.
Okay. Gotcha.
What do you bake a turkey
But
at?
That's the weird thing because I'll turn the dial. It's two different dials. One tells you toast and whatever your function is. And then I set the temperature. So it's not like I turn it to roast and it's set at a certain number. I can still tamper with that.
Yeah. Well, here we go with my big question. Because I'm looking up, we used to have the Better Homes and Gardens cookbook.
Yes.
Which I think we have it, but it is somewhere in the house where I don't know where it is.
We don't have it.
No, I think we do. It's not up at the house anymore and we had our own copy of it. There are two of them. Yes, we have one. My parents gave it to you for Christmas several years ago.
Wow. I don't know if it might be in our spare bedroom somewhere, like in things, and I'd have to dig for an hour.
These are things that my wife should know and I should not know.
I feel like I'm a counselor right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that.
Anyway.
I'm sitting in between the two of them.
The less said about the spare bedroom, the better. But
Derek, tell us how you feel about...
The spare bedroom is a joint project between Molly
it
and I.
It is definitely a joint project.
To see how much stuff we can cram into an empty bedroom because we have no other place to
put
it.
Listen, you're talking to somebody with the same... that's just what happens. You accumulate so much stuff that you just... You got to put it somewhere.
So I'm looking up all this turkey roasting information online, and I can't figure out what temperature I'm supposed to cook the thing at. Some people are saying 325. Some people are saying 350.
Yeah.
Some people are saying 375.
Yeah.
And the times all seem to be the same. Like, it's 20 minutes a pound.
Right.
And this is a 15-pound bird.
You
so.
Would think as the temperature changes, the time would change.
It's 15 pounds. It's a big one.
Yeah.
Wow.
So in theory, I should be cooking it right now.
No, you shouldn't. You'll be fine.
No, you'll be all right. You're eating it. You said 3 o'clock. People are coming.
Well, yeah, but
we'll be eating at midnight.
So like 4:30.
Right. So you get up. At what time you get? I don't know how. Does it take for 15-pound turkey? I thought it was like.
It's like 5 hours.
5 hours.
Yeah, that's 5 hours.
But
so
that's
like,
fine. You get up at
get
six,
up at
seven.
Not even.
No, not even if you're eating at four.
Derek, get up at eight.
I'm bad at
you'll
math.
Be fine.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
I want to watch the parade. And this conflicts, like, the time that I need to get the turkey in the oven.
But the parade's not until noon.
No, it's at 9 to noon.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's 9 to noon. You're right.
And, like, the first hour of the parade
good hour, the
is...
The first hour is the best hour.
The good part with all the Broadway musicals.
I thought the
and
good
the
part
cats.
Was the end.
No. Well, Santa. I mean, Santa's big, obviously.
Right. I think it's funny you invited me to do this show because I don't watch parades.
Yeah. You were telling me about this earlier. Like,
yeah.
Your parents apparently thought Thanksgiving was a great evil.
No, not at all. I don't know what it is. I think in terms of things like, would people, like Alice's Restaurant, for instance, a lot of people, traditional thing, some people will listen to it before they even have dinner.
Yeah.
Or they'll listen to it during dinner. I didn't know about Alice's Restaurant until I was in my 20s.
I'm not playing Arlo Guthrie during dinner. It's not, it's a great song. Great song.
Yeah.
But not during dinner.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah,
but
go for it.
This is related to the cooking of the turkey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Breaking news.
I just Googled Better Homes and Gardens turkey recipe. All right. Mm-hmm. They tell you preheat the oven to 325.
Okay.
So I would say that they're a reliable source for something. And then, you know, it's a few steps.
I think that's what the people who sold me the bird said as well. So
Better Homes and Gardens. If you're looking for the cookbook anyway,
yeah.
You know, you don't even really need the cookbook. That's what the internet's for.
Right. For now.
It's just stunning to me that you go online looking for an answer, because the internet is supposed to be this great answer engine.
No, it's just a lot of answers.
A lot of people's opinions. And
a lot of the times when I look at a recipe online, I already have in my mind what I think and how it should kind of go, because I cook quite a bit. And I just sort of go to try to see, all right, I'm on the right track, or how did they do it? And 9 times out of 10, I'm like, okay, you got like 5 extra ingredients in there you don't need. I don't know why you even did that process. And I ended up throwing it all out the window, and I just trust my own instincts, and it comes out great. But with the turkey, I can understand if it were just the two of you, and
the hell with it,
you go to Chinese food if it fails. Yeah. But when you have a house full of people, it's a different story. So I understand that pressure.
And it's like, if she gets sick and dies, then that's...
You get everything.
Yeah, I get everything. So that works for me, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
We're messed up.
Poor wife. Poor wife.
We're messed up.
So
is that payback for the gravy before? Is that what that was?
Oh, yeah.
Right. If you die,
right.
Whatever.
We're even.
Look, my misadventures in gravy have been documented over the years on this show. They are legendary. I am convinced I'm going to get it right again this year.
I think so.
So
think positive.
I have to say,
you need to believe in the power of
positive thinking.
Even
though he's missed the boat with gravy in the past, his stuffing is the best.
But you know what? I need people to believe in me and not preemptively order gravy.
I believe in you. I didn't order the
gravy. My sister doesn't, because she ordered gravy.
Yeah, right.
It's like I show up to get a turkey, and they're like, oh, there's gravy too. And I'm like, oh, really?
Do you know for a fact it's because you screwed up the gravy?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was going to say maybe.
It definitely is.
After 3 years...
Maybe there's somebody that likes to drink gravy and wanted, like, extra gravy.
Ew.
They were like,
ooh. I like extra gravy, I have to admit.
No, there was like...
Listen, I'll take a straw to a bowl of gravy. I don't care.
There was like four years of me messing up the gravy, and then all of a sudden the gravy started showing up with the turkey.
Well, prove them wrong, Derek.
Yeah, I'd say they started buying their own gravy, I don't know,
get out
twice,
there.
Two or three times.
No
you
problem.
Show that gravy who's boss.
Yeah.
You'll do it.
I was trying
I
to think
faith.
Of some sort
You'll
of
do
like,
it. You'll
the,
do it.
You got the gravy right this year. So 325 is the temperature that you want to cook your turkey at. That's what Better Homes and Gardens says. That cookbook,
right.
By the way, should be
slow
in every kitchen.
It's a slow and low thing, right?
It is.
You're going to get
that is one
juicier.
Thing. I vow at this point that by Christmas...
The turkey will be done.
No, well...
If I start cooking it tomorrow, it might be ready by Super Bowl Sunday,
I vow
apparently.
By Christmas that cookbook will be found.
Yeah, well, you heard it here first.
I want the one that was at my parents' house, because that one had all of my recipes in it.
That's not the one we have. They gave me, I remember how they gave me one when your mom was, so at least, gosh, like 8 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
But we don't have the one that they had. That I know for a fact.
I had a bunch of recipes stuffed in that thing.
But I'll look.
Is it one of those cookbooks?
Probably in the spare bedroom.
We've got a couple that like, don't have a cover anymore, and there's all kinds of...
No, my mom actually took good care of it. And it was like a 19...
I think it was a Betty Crocker.
You said it's not there anymore?
It was a 1950s like original edition of that cookbook.
Yeah.
And that cookbook is a Bible for... Right. You know, just basic stuff in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Because it had all the roasting times in it and how to truss a turkey and how to roast all this different stuff. And, you know, you learned all the basics from it.
I have one cookbook. I mean, I have a couple cookbooks. Never even used them. I've got an Italian cookbook. I don't know why I got that. From the people that do Cooks Illustrated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can anybody suck more fun out of cooking than those people? I don't know. It's like I never even touched the book. I've got all the joy of cooking. The one and only cookbook.
I have that. My mom gave me that cookbook.
I have never cooked anything out of that.
Neither have I.
Had it come. No, I cook out of it all the time. I've never had anything come out bad. It's been great time and time again. It's so spot on.
I think it was published in the late 70s, early 80s is when that came out.
Yeah.
And that actually supplanted the Better Homes and Gardens cookbook.
It did.
Which had been... A fixture in every kitchen in America.
Right.
The Joy of Cooking came out, and suddenly everybody's
Betty
like,
"Betty Crocker in there as well."
Oh, look at this! Yeah, the Betty Crocker one.
I have a Taste of what the heck is it called? Taste at Home or Taste of Home? It's like a magazine, but it's like readers, you know, recipes and not like there.
Right.
I've cooked a few things from there. I have to admit, their blueberry pie recipe is awesome.
Really it's the only thing that varies from one recipe to another typically is spices.
That's true.
Once you get down, there are basic ways to cook meat and vegetables.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it's just, all right, what are you screwing around with on the side here?
Right.
You know, unless you're doing something really fancy like terrine. And if you're making terrine for Thanksgiving, I can't help you.
Something with a lot of steps in it as well.
Yeah, it's like, too much work.
That's the other thing with the Cook's Illustrated recipes is I feel like a lot of the time, it's like a 7-hour process where they're like, okay, now put that aside and wait, or they put it in the oven, like, and then it's like, okay, now this out. So the magic of TV makes it look like it happened in 10 minutes, but it's a 4-hour process.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I'm like, you know what? I don't need to make that badly.
I come from an old New England family, so everything other than the turkey is just boiled.
Yes.
Like, boil some vegetables and...
The onions.
Boil the potatoes. Make mashed potatoes. Yeah. Boil some squash. Yeah. Mash it up. Boil the onions.
That we had. We don't have those this year.
I don't think we're doing the onions. I think that was my dad's thing. My dad loved, like, boiled white pearl onions.
Yeah. And I love a good boiled onion.
Nobody else in the family
I have them sometimes.
Nobody else in the family liked them.
I've really grown to love onions, and I used to avoid them because I was worried about my breath all the time. And now that I'm in my 40s, I'm like, who cares? Yeah. Give me all the onions.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm like, who wants to make out?
So I
won't be getting scurvy. That's the good news.
Yeah, right?
That's a plus. No scurvy for the holidays. Always a win. So you were saying earlier, you didn't do all the traditional Thanksgiving stuff when you were...
We did Thanksgiving. I mean, we had traditional dinner at my house, but I just don't remember, like...
You weren't watching the Peanuts, and you weren't listening to Arlo Guthrie.
No, we weren't watching parades. We weren't listening to Arlo Guthrie.
You watched the parades.
We're Italian. We focus on the food. Ain't nobody got time for all that other stuff.
What are you doing all day while it's cooking?
I don't know, playing with Legos or whatever.
Did you watch football at least?
Not really.
Oh, my God.
I mean, maybe the TV was on with it. Maybe the parade would be on and maybe watch a little bit of that. But it just never was. We were not like kids that ever wanted to go to a parade or ever went to a circus. I didn't go to a circus until I was like
24. You never went to like a turkey trot or a town football game?
Yeah, the turkey trots are fairly new things.
The town football game. I used to go to the Winchester.
I hated the
Winchester Woburn. Well, one of my parents' best friends, their son was a, two of my parents' friends, one of their sons was a kicker.
Mm-hmm.
And then another son was a football player. He actually went to Tufts, played football for Tufts. So we used to go to the Winchester Woburn football game, but only when it was in Winchester. Like we wouldn't, go to not like Woburn's far by any means. But we would only go because it's less than a mile from our house.
When I was in high school, I didn't pay any. Well, first of all, I thought the football players were not all of them, but. A good many of them didn't even know I existed, and the cheerleaders, same thing. So it was never really my bag to go and support those guys. The other thing is, I went to school in Newton. We played Brookline every year, and they would kill us, like absolutely destroy us. So it was like, what is the point of going when we're going to lose again?
I think they're now really good, I guess.
I was friends with some of the football players, so that wasn't anything. But I never went until... after graduation.
Yeah.
Because after graduation, like the first couple of years after graduation, like everybody who's coming home from college, from your class, goes to the football game. And you all sit around and watch the football game and say hi to everybody.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Right.
And then when you get to be 21, you just go to the townie bar.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Anybody in Newton that's listening, maybe, where are all the Northie kids going tonight? Are you going to go to the Cherry Tree?
I'll tell you right now, after the last couple of years of this, I know better.
Oh, I don't
know. Don't go near Grimsby's.
No, because nobody in my class is going.
You and I did that once. It's right on the Stoneham Melrose line. One year we did that before we started doing the tavern after, and whoa.
Yeah.
That was like, because I went to private high school. I went to K-8 public, but... Uh-huh. So, like, the whole, meeting up wasn't really...
Yeah.
And there wasn't a bar in Winchester until recently, so...
Right, that's a dry town, right?
No, gosh, not anymore. But it was though, when I was growing up.
Same thing with Belmont. We only, where I'm living now, they have beer and wine now, finally. But that's only as recently as maybe 6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I moved in... And friends would come over to hang out. I'd be like, you better hit a liquor store on your way.
Yeah, yeah. Hit a liquor store before you hit the town line.
And that's the thing is, that's where all the liquor stores were. Like, you would go
right on the town line.
And then you'd be driving, and it's like, what is this random convenience store selling liquor right here? Like, what is this in the middle of a neighborhood? And there are all the advertisements. And then I realized it's literally one side of the street is Belmont. The opposite side where the store is was Watertown.
Yeah. Well, it's like the old days in Salem, New Hampshire, before Massachusetts, loosened up a little bit.
Yeah.
You'd drive across the border into Salem or Seabrook.
Right.
And the first things you saw, fireworks
and liquor,
porn,
head shop,
tattoos.
Exactly, yeah. But now some of the states, some of the cities in Massachusetts, though, that were close to the border were allowed to open. Like Methuen used to open liquor stores on Sundays because they had a thing right about competing. And I'm like, well, then what about the town next to Methuen competing? Like, why wouldn't it just bleed into the rest of the state?
I noticed, actually, I went to a deli in Winchester today after work to get dinner. And they now, for years, it was this teeny little D'Agostino's. It was this teeny little hole-in-the-wall place, best subs. But they've recently expanded. And so they now sell wine and beer and other things.
Yeah.
And they had signs everywhere. That said, due to Massachusetts law, we cannot sell beer and wine on Thanksgiving Day because they're open from 8 to 1. And
Downer.
I was like, oh, that's like a thing.
You can't
That's like a thing. Yeah. Like no beer. And I was like, I never even knew. But the signs were like, they made it very clear, which was good.
Is that
specifically
because they're just a sandwich shop?
I don't know.
It's the Massachusetts Defense of Packies Law, I think is what it's called. If the packies aren't open, no one else is selling beer and wine.
So if I went out to a restaurant for dinner tomorrow with my family, I couldn't
order. That's different.
No, restaurants can do it.
Restaurants can do it, but you can't go into a store.
Oh, it's like a... Okay, I understand.
Yeah, and it was like, they made it very clear. So when I was in line, there were a lot of people that were in there picking up orders that were like buying beer, wine.
The Packy lobby rides tall in the saddle here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. The Packy owners and the distributors pretty much control everything.
Yeah.
And if the Packy's closed... You're not buying beer anywhere.
Unless you get a military ID like my friend had, and we used to go to Hanscom.
There you go. Yeah.
we would watch football on Sundays, and like sometimes, you know, extra people show up and they run low on beer, and it's like, I'm Air Force Reserve or whatever he was in, Army Reserves, and so we'd fly over to Hanscom and pick up beer from the liquor store there and be everybody's hero.
When they, I think it was 1992 when they first started offering the liquor sales. It was 92 or 93 because I can remember we had a friend, the year after I graduated, we had a friend that lived in Utica and he'd go home for the weekend and he'd come back on Sunday night with cases of Utica Club beer, which is not good beer. Unless you grew up in upstate New York and it's what you started drinking when you were 12.
When you were 12, wow.
But to us, it was ambrosia.
Yeah.
Because it's Sunday and there's cases of beer showing up. And it's like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So when they finally allowed the liquor stores to be open, the first thing they did was they said, if you were within 10 miles of the border of New Hampshire.
Yes.
You could be open.
Gotcha.
And we figured out what the closest liquor store was to Boston.
Yeah.
And we were up there every Sunday morning.
Sure.
It was this place on Route 28 in North Reading, just across the border from Reading.
Wow.
And it was like...
That's not that far at all.
No, it was like a 25-minute drive, and it's like,
that's
booze!
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Everybody was in there.
Of course.
I bet.
Everybody was in there.
Yeah.
There used to be a bowling alley up the street from this place.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were two big liquor stores on Route 28 in North Reading, and there used to be a bowling alley up the street from one of them.
Yeah.
The Sunday business got so big that they bought the bowling alley, knocked it down, and put up a bigger liquor store.
Wow.
And then they opened the liquor stores everywhere in Massachusetts on Sunday, and now it's just another half-empty packy all the time.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
I remember when I worked in the city, I was in the Shaw's on Huntington Avenue a lot, and they had a raised area inside the store that where you could buy beer, wine, and liquor.
Yeah.
But on I rarely worked on Sundays, but once in a while I would work Sundays.
Yep.
And the bathrooms in the store, you had to kind of walk by the liquor section to get there.
Yep.
Sundays, the whole liquor section would be
caged. Yep. Same thing at the one on Mount Auburn Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They would just bring the gates down like it was, you know, the inside of a mall or something.
855-915-9636 is the phone number. I have to mention that every now and again. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is a special Thanksgiving-ian edition of Hear It Wow. I am Derek Gary, joined by Molly Gary and former WMFO on-air personality Daniela Capolino.
And hopefully return again soon.
We'll get you back for the Christmas show. How does that?
We're doing
the Christmas battle again this year.
If you train me on the board,
I'm only going to be able to be there for part of it.
I've lost every single time because Chris Earle cheats.
Oh, the battle of
Derek, you're just bitter.
No, he cheats.
How does he cheat?
He cheats.
Do tell me.
You know how he cheats. You know exactly how he cheats. He He finds embarrassing clips of me on the
air
from the past year.
He does.
And throws them into the mix.
You know, because this might be his last time. We don't know. Yeah. So you know that he is going to be coming out with guns blazing.
He's got no guns.
This.
He's got no guns to blaze because we have blown through all of the really good Christmas music over the seven or eight years that we've been doing it.
You've been doing it a long time. You must be running down.
It's like Paul Day and I did it for like three or four years.
I remember you and Paul doing it. Yeah.
We did it for like 4 years and then he left and it was new show.
Yeah.
And now it's, Chris and I have been doing it for 8. You run out of stuff.
Right.
Anyway, it is WMFO Medford. When we come back, more Thanksgiving fun. Here right now is a tribute to everybody who will be spending Thanksgiving away from family this holiday season.
And buffet in Reno on Thanksgiving Day. Nobody seemed to care why anyone else was there. Me and my buddy Jay watched back cover bands play. Got little drinks for free. Kept betting on 23. This is true. Some of this is better.